Hey guys, welcome back to the B List. I'm B. You guys know me. I have a very special guest here this week. I've talked about his show several times on here, so you guys are familiar with that. If you're not, then you're probably just a hater at this point, because it's one of the best shows currently on Bravo, and I talk about it all the time. So you've had plenty of time to catch up. It's Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. The guest is Preston Mitchum. Hi, Preston.
Hey, B, what's going on?
Nothing much. We have been in contact a bit because we follow each other on social for a while now. And it's funny because I reached out to you a while ago when the show first started airing, and you were like, oh, my, is it your fiance or is it your boyfriend? I'm sorry. I don't want to.
Boyfriend, eventually fiance.
That's the goal. And you said that he already followed me too. So that I was like, oh, the more the merrier. It's great. It all worked out.
I love that story, actually, because he is the one who told me about you. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I hope it was good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, all good things. Well, one thing he kept saying is he was like, B is hilarious. Like, I don't know if you follow this person, but make sure to follow them. So I'm like, okay. And then I got to admit, I was hooked pretty immediately. So
I love it. So it
was great to then follow you.
Speaking of him, so because we're going to talk about BravoCon and all that stuff, and I'm going to get all of your takes and everything like that and all that stuff, but just saying, like, because he was there with you at BravoCon, right?
He was, yeah.
And I was just like, you know, obviously, like, this is, I'll get right into it, but like, Bravo is obviously, like, it's a platform where a good portion of, like, the following and, like, the people that follow all these shows and the whole culture, a lot of them are gays or people that are in the LGBTQ community, and we don't necessarily see, like, that much representation on the screen. So it was really nice to see you guys backstage doing your thing, especially also being brown, you know what I mean? So, like, that's just, I love seeing it, you know what I mean?
I do too. I hope Bravo is never upset with me for how much I lovingly criticize us. But the truth of the matter is, the reality is this, you know, I don't know many people who watch Bravo other than women and gays. And so maybe that's the majority of the country.
Yeah. But
the truth of the matter is that that's just it. Like, most of my friends who are black and queer, especially, watch Bravo all the time. Even my white friends watch Bravo all the time. So it's just very fascinating to me that I don't see a lot of those mirrored images on a lot of the shows. I mean, in fact, I talked about this during the Pride panel on one of the live stages.
Okay.
Is that, you know, I have never seen anyone who looked like me on Bravo as a full-time recurring cast member. And as much as that excites me, I'm the type of gay that does not like to be the only one, right?
Yeah.
No shade, there are some of us who do, but for me, it's never been comforting or comfortable to be the only one. And so I really do hope that we can use this as, like, a leverage for Bravo and production companies to see that there are many of us who have many great stories to tell.
I fully agree with that. But, you know, sometimes you have to be the first one, and you guys are doing it really well, because Summer House, like I said, well, first off, everybody that listens to this podcast knows I talk about, now there's two different Summer Houses, right? There's the original one. I call it Plain Summer House. And then there's Spicy Summer House, which is yours. So, and I call Bria Spicy Paige.
I love that.
P.S. by the way, there was a panel. This is totally, but I created the term bedsore girls off of the original. Have you heard that term?
Yes, I have.
I created that. I pinned that. And then someone at BravoCon was saying that they created it, that they pinned it. So I just wanted to put that out there in the universe again, but that happens, you know. But what was I saying? No, you guys are just like, you're blowing it out of the water, already better than the original. I like the regular Summer House too, but the Plain Summer House, but you guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, I must admit, right? Like, I really also love the original Summer House, but we get that comment a lot, and I love it because it doesn't necessarily feel like shade against the original.
No.
It really feels like just a way to compliment us, right? And obviously the thing that we're to spin off of is the greatest comparison. So
yeah,
I really, really appreciate that.
So first things first, you guys got robbed at the Bravos.
Agreed. And I will tell anyone who asks.
I was sitting there with bated breath, and I was like, wait, nothing?
You should have actually seen the faces of all five of us who were there, because like, it's not that we didn't expect it, right? Like, to be very clear, Bravo is a heavily dominated Housewives franchise, and we that and we expected to not win.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I know how much people have really talked positively about our show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I must admit, it was a little disappointing though we didn't expect to win.
It's okay. You guys will be the Susan Lucci's of the Bravos. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a read.
No, but, for real.
No, there's a fervor around Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Spicy Summer House that kind of reminds me of the early days of Potomac, when you know that like the real funny people online are following it and talking about it and it feels right. You don't want it to be too much too fast. So I feel like we're onto something. And I know some people who work on the ground in production that said this upcoming season can be really great, but we're going to get into all that. First things first, I want to talk about something not Bravo related. Justin Timberlake, Timberland, they're both having their reckoning. Have you been following any of this?
I have been. I sure have been.
Any thoughts?
I mean, I don't know what the hell Timberland is talking about, to be
honest. By the way, everybody, if you're not caught up, Timbaland said, I think just this week, right? He said he was on stage at some speech. Well, who's paying Timbaland to give speeches? Well, I don't know. But he said he said something like Justin Timberlake should have put a muzzle on Britney because of her memoir talking about her life. First off, the comment in and of itself is completely anti-woman. It's just like, so I can't believe he would ever fix his mouth to get on stage. And the thing is, I think people are so used to Britney being shit on for so many years that they don't realize that there's an army behind this girl.
Yeah. So let me tell you, back in the day when I was a white teenage girl, infatuated with Britney Spears. Like
What's your album?
Oh, you know what's funny? So I would actually have to give it to In the Zone. But for a long time, like my song of every summer was You Drive Me Crazy. Like it was just,
yeah.
To be honest, I love Baby One More Time, but I think when I realized the power of Britney, like just how incredible she was when I saw her and Melissa Joan Hart getting ready with this nerdy waitress look, mm-hmm. and the glasses all like that. That is
the making the video.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that is the moment I remember. And so I've been in love with Britney Spears for so long. And I've tweeted about this for quite a while. And I think it's maybe my attorney side, but I get so exhausted with just like how much people did not realize that how wronged Britney was by a lot of family members. And so like, I get it, right? Like now we see her having a good time. We see what seems like not the most, I'm just going to say, like mentally, quote unquote, mentally stable. Mm-hmm. Britney. But I think like mm-hmm. Britney is so disconnected from the world that everything she's doing feels so normal to me. And I think would feel so normal to anyone who has actually like had a tie legally
yeah.
to someone else for so long. So that's just my rant. But I will say, like, I don't know what the hell Timbaland is talking about.
Neither like, do it. Neither does he, because he already apologized.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Already,
I saw like it on the...
The purpose of a memoir is to tell your life, right? Yeah. It is to talk about the things that you've experienced.
Not do favors to men that have wronged you. Like... Yeah.
The reality is, we all know Justin Timberlake is a shitty human. Like that is just, I think over time you just know that about JT. And so like she's telling exactly what we all know, just more intimately, what we wanted to know for a long time.
Yeah. You know, the Shade Room actually, which is like the darkest place, one of the darkest corners of the fucking internet. I don't even know why I follow it. Mental note, when we're done with here, I need to go block them.
But I blocked them months ago, so I get it.
anyways, that's a whole other conversation. But like they posted, you know, that he apologized, that Timberland apologized for making that muzzle comment. And then of course, everyone in the comments is like, I'm so sick of people apologizing all the time. I'm like, I have to get the fuck out of here.
They
make me want to fight.
No, Britney quite literally bothers no one. And that's why I'm always confused on how anyone has smoke for her, because she just lives her life to mm-hmm. the extent possible. And people always treat her in such a horrible manner that I'm surprised that she still keeps her sweet image. Like, I'm surprised that she's still a kind person, because I would have lost it by now.
Yeah. I wanted to go over the first thing on my list that we were talking about. What I do is when we talk about our list, by the way, that I talked to you about it before, I sprinkle them out throughout the episode. So actually, this was the next note of what's going on right now. But this is the first thing on my list that I love this week, is that last night's election results, whether it be Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Democrats had huge wins for individual liberties. Republicans had huge losses. You live in D.C., right?
Yeah, I live in D.C., but I'm an Ohioan.
Okay. That's the number one. That's the number one thing on my list right now. The Democrats ate up the Republicans, and they kept the state Senate in Pennsylvania and Ohio, all of that stuff. I love it.
Yeah, and then also in Virginia, flipped the state house. One of my really good friends, Roja Henson, is now delegate elect. Roja Henson, he's actually the first Black gay man.
Yes.
Win a state house seat in the state of Virginia. So really, really, really proud of him. I will say that it's important.
Pennsylvania Philly got their first black female mayor.
Yeah, mayor. Yeah, I saw that as well. I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, you may know my background is politics and policy. So like it's just a thing I love. It's what my consulting firm is about. But I will say also, I always talk about being an Ohioan, because Ohio is such a very interesting state. I mean, it's never ever blue, but it always has shades of somewhat red and then purple, especially. But, you know, I think last night was a prime example of it overwhelmingly passed by 55% of the vote, enshrining the right to abortion in the state's constitution. Right now, marijuana use is legal starting in weeks. And what's even fascinating, I was looking at exit polls, and the highest demographic that actually supported enshrining abortion rights were Black men.
Love it. I love that. See,
and that is rare. Now, I have some probably spicy opinions about why that may be, but it was just so fascinating to me to see Abe's Black men supported that ballot 87%.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome, because, I mean, so typically, I feel like every election, no matter what, I mean, usually even in national elections, it's usually always Black women saving all of our asses.
Yeah.
And carrying all of us to the finish line. But it's nice to see.
Yeah, and Black women were number two. But I think, like, you know, I think it shocked. I was talking to a lot of my Black women colleagues today, and I think we were all kind of like scratching the surface to figure out what was going on. But
I'm not complaining.
Right, exactly.
I love it.
I said, I'm going to save my comments, because all I know is it helped.
Listen, maybe Timbaland's from Virginia. Maybe he's one of those men. So who knows?
Facts.
Not too much on Timbaland.
No, right.
I wanted to ask you what the first thing on your list this week is.
Ooh, this, honestly, resting from BravoCon.
Okay.
Just
recovering.
Yeah, it's still in recovery mode. Absolutely.
From everybody that I talked to that was there, Rachel Fuda said she's recovering. Everybody's just like, it's kind of like a hangover in and of itself. I've been to BravoCon the past two ones because Bravo will always send me, you know, I was supposed to do a panel last year, but we'll see in the future if I'm supposed to do one. But I didn't go this year. I skipped, and I'm kind of glad I did. Even if you don't even drink, it still feels like you're hungover. You know what I mean?
No, seriously. Even though I definitely drank, but
yeah.
No. So I had the dual hangover feeling, I think.
It's just being surrounded by that many people and that much what's a stimulus. You know what I mean?
It's
just like, it's exhausting.
It is exhausting, and I think what is really exhausting is just how exciting it is too, and how excited everyone is to see each other.
Yeah. Which actually leads me into my second thing on my list this week. You might have some thoughts, or maybe you can't have thoughts. I don't know. They're getting Ramona Singer up out of our faces. So last week on this podcast, literally on the last one, literally like an hour before, because it was, do you know Evan Real from Page Six? Did he introduce you?
So I know of, but I haven't had the pleasure.
You should meet him. I should somehow get that introduction going. He was on last week. He's a dear friend. He loves Britney Spears. So you guys would have tons to talk about. But he's great. But we were just talking because Page Six had just dropped the first thing about her her text messages to Page Six reporter using the N-word and all that, you know, all that mess. But then literally like hours later, after we got off the podcast, it was announced that she would be ousted from the BravoCon lineup. They're getting that woman out of our faces. Yeah. I love it. Listen.
Yeah, listen, I am never going to mince my words about what I think about racism,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
I can't care about the platform, right? Because I'm a Black man, and that matters more to me than anything else. And I think, and the truth of the matter is, other Bravo celebrities who are Black women in particular have definitely spoken out about their experiences specifically with Ramona. And so, like, it's, you know, I mean, the problem is, right, her anti-Black racism in particular is not a new thing, right? Like, it's been something that has been happening for a while. And a transparent note is, I am friends with Ebony K. Williams. She's an Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. I'm an Alpha Phi Alpha brother. And so, like, and we're both lawyers, right? Like, we know each other. And so, you know, and frankly, she's never even shared anything related to that. So on one thing, I'm really
now,
proud
did
of
you know her before Bravo? Did you? Okay, that's great.
I mean, and so, like, I am just saying I'm really proud of, like, her speaking up, because I think many people know there is a danger that comes with being vocal. All of us know that. I as a loudmouth person, I know that very well. And so, you know, I mean, Ramona is just an example of someone who's problematic that I'm grateful that they got up out of here. But at the same time, must admit that it's probably late too. Right?
It's also late, yeah.
You know, these rumors have been flying around for years. This is
I'm
not
just glad it happened. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time.
Amen.
look at God. What was I going to say? One more thing about Ebony K. Williams. You know, the thing about her is she's not my favorite housewife, but that's neither here nor there, because when you have the conversation about Ebony K. Williams with so many people in kind of like the Bravo sphere or that watch these shows, their first thing is, well, she ruined Roni. I'm like, fuck the show. Like, we're not talking about a show right now. We're talking about racism. Like, the show could end tomorrow, but the fact would remain that, like, we're talking about something much deeper than storyline. Do you know what I mean? Or like seasonal ratings. And
I also think people have to realize too that, like, Ebony was the first Black woman on New York's franchise, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I think people lovingly, I really say this lovingly, I think people aren't being honest about what they want sometimes on TV in terms of the word reality.
Yeah.
Because what Ebony brought was very different than what Bravo ever had. And so I understand when people are like, not my type of girl, right? Like, not my type of housewife.
Yeah.
And at the same time acknowledge, like, what she was talking about was just her experiences, right, at the time. And you know, maybe that's not true today. But I think for her in particular, I'll be honest, I felt for her when I was watching the episodes, because I'm just like, wow, like, I couldn't personally imagine my first time on such a huge network, having such a huge platform, being surrounded by people who some may not be the most friendly to people of color. I couldn't imagine it being my first experience on national television. So many ways I felt for her, but I also understand, right, like, the nature of reality TV is you like certain people, you don't like other people, right? That's just the reality of it.
Yeah. I think what I was just thinking of is, you know, something interesting with Ebony, and this also happened with Garcelle, and it was something that they were kind of doing at a certain point. I don't know. It was the bridge between 2020 and 2021, but they had announced ahead of time, before they had even began filming the season, Ebony K. Williams, first Black housewife of Roni, like press releases, right? Mm-hmm. And they did the same thing for Garcelle on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I wonder how you think about how you feel about that, because that's not really something that would ever happen with any other housewife. Like, they would never be like, Sutton joins, I'm just using her as an example, but do you know what I mean? Like, why does it need to be an announcement? Why can't Ebony just be
on her own?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm always conflicted about the first, because I think, or at least like celebrating it, right? Because I do think it can be something to celebrate, right? But I also think it exposes a greater injustice.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're saying the first about something 13 seasons in, it's like, what I'm actually thinking about is not yay. I'm thinking about, well, why the hell did it take y'all 13 seasons? Right.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
just usually what I'm thinking about. Uh-huh. But I do think it actually sets people up for failure sometimes,
that's
right?
That's what I was kind of getting at. Yeah, I feel like it's
because it actually tells a story before they get a chance to tell their story.
Yeah, and also I know how these kind of shows work typically. I don't claim to have like full, you know what I mean? But, you know, as I understand it, most people sign a contract and then they film some stuff and then it they become a housewife, or but nobody really signs on originally to be a housewife, right? Sometimes people end right. up being friend of if they don't have the story.
Right.
And it seemed kind of like you said, setting her up to fail. So that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Felt like a big, big kind of crown to carry.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Because also, it also, I also believe that unfortunately what it could do is it expects you to represent that community mm-hmm. that you cannot have ever claimed to represent.
Yeah.
Right. Like even for our show, there were many people I remember distinctly, you know, who were just like, oh, these don't remind me of any of my friends. Right. Which is, I think, a valid response. Right. Because maybe we don't.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
On the flip side, there were many people who were like, these remind me exactly of my friends. Annoying, beautiful, cute, yeah. annoying again. Right. And so I think when you set that out as something, it unfortunately can already expose this idea that it's like, if this person doesn't resonate with me, then they're not, you know, resonant of anyone in the community, which I think can also be another, it can yeah. be a for failing.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, and why it does work. I mean, like I said, I did watch the Summer House, the regular plain Summer House originally, which I love. Like, it's great. Yeah. But this kind of took it to another level because I feel like these people, when I talk about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, I think the reason it works for me is because it feels like a group of people who never intended to be on reality TV. Like, I feel like Bria would probably be the kind of girl to be like, that's not a read. Like, I think Bria's...
No.
I love Spicy Paige.
Look, but I told someone, I mean, listen, I was surprised by a Spike clip that was revealed mm-hmm. during BravoCon.
Oh, the crab at the crab dinner?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wasn't surprised at myself because I know what happened that night.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I was just surprised because I was like, oh, I didn't know this was being played. But what I also shared with an interviewer previously was Bria and I, we have our moments. Like Bria and I, we have tough moments.
Yeah.
But Bria is reality TV gold, right? Yes. Like that girl okay. or not, whatever the opinion is or not, like the one thing I always will defend Bria in is that woman is reality TV gold. And it's just, and she's necessary.
Yes, absolutely. I think everybody on the show, there's not anybody that I would even take off. Even Shanice. I said even Shanice, but even though she only comes in on the weekends, she's like a necessary kind of chaos agent. She comes in for 2 days, stirs up the entire pot, and then leaves. It's mm-hmm. kind of amazing.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So first off, I want to start at the beginning of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, right? You're living in DC at the time, right? Mm-hmm. How did the show find you, or did you find the show? How did that kind of come about?
The show found me, and I always hate, I can't lie. I hate telling this story sometimes because I know there are people who really try their hardest to be on reality TV yeah. shows. And it kind of just fell in my lap, if I'm being honest.
Of course, that's how it should work, I think, though. It should be people that aren't looking for it. That's when
you know what? You know what? I agree. I actually do agree with that. So how it happened, we were on the Vineyard a couple of years back, and a few of us who were actually on the show still, or mm-hmm. who on the show, first season, at least especially, we were going to an all-white party, and because... Uh-huh. For some reason, Black folks love all-white parties. And we were dressing all-white, and we were posting pictures on the gram. Mm-hmm. And honestly, one of Jordan's friends/connections is the one who made the initial introduction and kind of foray into this world.
Okay. And
that's really how it happened after that. Like, one thing led to the other, being connected to casting folks. And, you know, we were interviewing after that and really figuring that. Out who made sense, who didn't make sense. And that's really how it happened. So, like, I really give a lot. I mean, Jordan is my girl, and I think everyone knows that. But I always give a lot of love to her because I don't think she tells her story enough about this. Like,
she started it.
Yeah, like she was out of the cast. She was really the catalyst, I think, for it being fully possible for a lot of us.
Yeah, okay. I love that. I mean, I can see that. She's kind of got a natural connection to you and the women as well, the other women. So, yeah. I was going to say, I've talked about this before on this podcast before, but I was reached out to by someone for a production from the Plain Summer House. And at the time, your show didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe they were casting, but I don't know. But I was told it was just for Summer House. But that never kind of came of anything. And I'm not interested. But had I known that Martha's Vineyard was happening and they'd reached out to me, that's the house that I would want to be in. I want to be in Martha's Vineyard house. Also, it looks nicer too.
It was a beautiful home. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think, particularly as someone who's gone to the Vineyard several times, like I've stayed in a home that was that fab.
Yeah.
And it was everything.
Did you enjoy the filming process?
I did enjoy the filming process. You know, pardon me, it's very interesting because as someone who obviously has not been right on reality TV, but has mm-hmm. had friends on reality TV shows, I don't think there was any amount of support they could have given me that would have.
Yeah. 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 There's not really a manual.
Yeah. Because no matter what they share with me, I was like, when I went in, I was like, why didn't they tell me this? Knowing full and well, they probably did. but I enjoy the filming process. If for no other reason that you are yourself, right? Yeah. Or at least whatever version you were presenting that day, meaning like, you know, some days you have a good day, some days you have a bad day, and that's just real.
Yeah.
I just really appreciated the fact that, you know, I was like, all of me is going to be exposed. The good, the bad, the ugly, right? All of it is this, you know, you just get to be yourself. Now, of course, you know, we're never going to lie, right? There's naturally editing, there's naturally producing to make a show. But I'm just grateful that in my experience, based on the first season, I really believe that what you saw was what you got.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, they're of course natural edit. Like again, like they're clearly behind my voice when I was talking about Black Xmas, there wasn't like an organ, right? In real life.
Yeah.
but I think that's what I appreciated about his show. It's like a mirror in many ways. And sometimes with a mirror, it exposes you how you wake up in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other times it exposes you when you're getting ready for a gala, right? And so that's what I appreciated about it.
What's interesting for your show is that it's filmed over a period, what, like 2 weeks? Is like it two weeks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that the same? Can you talk about the summer? Are you a lot like, or was it the same two weeks?
Yeah, most of it was the same, though. Thankfully, I think viewers will be really excited that we do get a chance to go out to the Vineyard a lot more this summer.
Okay, yeah, because you are in a different town, kind of technically, right? What is it called?
So technically speaking, like you are in between like Edgartown and Oak Bluffs.
Okay.
But I think viewers will be able to experience a lot more Oak Bluffs this summer.
Awesome.
Or from us being there this past summer, I should say. And it was a really good opportunity, right? Like, especially as someone, again, who's gone to the Vineyard a lot, you know, one thing that I think admittedly we were missing was more opportunities to be outside of the house. Like it is Summer House, right? But I think, you know, after the colon, it's Martha's Vineyard.
So I
think viewers definitely wanted to see a little bit more of the Vineyard, particularly when it was more people there. And I think they'll be pleasantly surprised with that this coming time.
How do you feel better about the process? Or I guess, how do you feel about the newest season after leaving? Like, do you feel like it's going to be just like a completely different show? Or do you feel like it's going to be more of the same, but just like those added kind of perks? Oh,
B, that's such a good question because I don't know. Like,
kind of impossible until you see it, right?
Well, let me tell you this though, right? So like, the first season, none of us kind of know how we're going to act, right? Like it's just, you're responding to moments. And so you just don't know, right? You don't know what questions are going to come up. You don't know what friends are going to beef with over the side. Like, you just don't know. You don't know what friendships are going to blossom.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know if I believed I was going to play the voice of reason last summer. Like I just don't. I really don't think that I thought I was walking in that way, right?
It sounds like that might change this summer.
Let me say this. I really believe I'm a kind person. Like, I genuinely, like, I try my hardest to always be a kind person, always be a patient person.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I know I'm opinionated. I know I have a lot of thoughts about many things. And I know that you're not just going to get away with saying whatever you want to me. Like, those are the things that people did not see.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to see some fights this season. Okay. Got it.
you will definitely see some disagreements from me this season. And I think for no other reason, because there were disagreements that came up in our real life. But I think this spilled over, right, to filming.
Oh, got it. So maybe stuff that necessarily didn't happen during the summer, but kind of...
That you clearly see exposed during the summer, right?
Okay, got it.
You know, because I think for me, one thing that I talked about in an interview with Gibson Johns from In the Know is love that...
him. He's been on here before.
Yeah, like I love Gibson. Him. One of the things that he and I were talking about was, you know, I think, you know, sometimes people only think about what happens when you film, but the reality is what happens when you don't film, right? What happens when you're on cameras? I think relationships shift and change. I think sometimes you are happy for people. Let's be clear, sometimes you're jealous of people. And it's just multiple things that are happening in people's lives that I think...
And people are watching the show back too. And kind of seeing how the audience reacts to them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I will say, I think second season, if I'm being very honest, I think you're going to get more of me. And by that, I mean like more of my actual personality. Yeah. And maybe you'll love it, maybe you'll hate it. But I think that part of it is I think this season you're going to get the holistic version of me. That's going to mean you're going to get a spicy side. You're going to get an emotional side. You're going to get like all the things because if I'm being honest, and I don't want to spoil too much, but I said this publicly and I know some reality blogs picked it up. My father passed away a week before we started filming.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So thank you. And so it was just a lot. I was admittedly already on edge.
Yeah.
There was already so many things happening that all of my cast members knew. And I think some of them respected it less than others.
Yeah. Okay. Spicy summer house, though. So well, that's what it is. Yeah.
I think it continues that.
Yeah, it continues. Speaking of people getting to know you more, right? I think summer house as kind of like a franchise is such an interesting thing, right? I never imagined that they would do Martha's Vineyard. I mean, it just came out of nowhere, right? People were like, oh, and then it's just kind of like, also just Martha's Vineyard as a place. I think it's kind of like the same morphic idea. People think that they know, but then they see an all black cast and they don't know about the black history of Martha's Vineyard. Mm-hmm. So it's a really great opportunity to like, not just necessarily do the Hamptons and places that everyone kind of already understands, but maybe kind of teach people about all these different vacation locales. Right. One thing I think would be amazing is like if they did another summer house, they definitely should do Close on the Cape, summer house Provincetown. That would be something. Have you been to Provincetown?
I have been. Yep.
Okay.
Provincetown. Yep.
Spin off. Here we go.
Listen, we've always been doing this. Like, all right, y'all, let's make sure we do like P-Town. Like, I mean, no, but seriously, I think I'm always thinking about what's next, right? Because we do a P-Town one. That's where all the gays coming out. So I just need.
And it could just be an all gay one.
Exactly. We need something. Just as long as I can be like the head bitch in charge for an episode. Like,
yes. I'm okay. Until the wheels fall off the wagon. And then I want to ask some questions about your housemates. Okay. So just some real quick, like, quick answers. Who do you think is the most chaotic, I guess, as it stands right now? Most chaotic housemate.
Oh, by chaotic, you know, I'm not even going to ask any questions. I think the most chaotic housemate is Shanice.
Okay.
And I actually say that in a way that's not like messy, right? Like,
she's fun. I mean, she's like, I say that in like a endearing sense. Like I said, she's Hurricane Shanice, comes in
exactly.
On the weekend.
We went to Jamaica. And when I tell you, it was a time because Shanice's dad is just Shanice. Shanice would just go into a club being like, hey, can we get a table? she's bubbly and fun enough that like people are like, sure.
Is she on the new season? Are you allowed to say?
I don't know. Well, I guess I will. Well, that clip showed her face. So yes, I will say
okay.
That.
The clip of the clip. Okay, cool. Good. We need her. Who's the easiest housemate to kind of like live with and film with?
For me, the easiest housemate to live with is Jordan.
Okay. Yeah. And you're closest with her, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you had to pick somebody from Plain Summer House to visit Spicy Summer House, who would it be?
Oh my God.
To come stay for the summer. Who do you think would be the best fit? I think I know. I think I have an idea, but I want to see if you.
So honestly, I think for a variety of reasons, this can be good and bad. I think Danielle.
I was just going to say her.
Yeah.
And she has a relationship with Jordan anyways.
Oh, that's my girl too. Yeah, no, Danielle and I are
Okay.
really cool. And
Okay,
so like,
cool.
but also I know it's because Danielle and I will be like the best of friends and enemies sometimes. So like,
Yeah.
and
Okay.
I love it. I love it. 'Cause Danielle is the type of person that can meet my argument level, can meet my fun level as well. Like I really appreciate her.
She's got a high EQ and IQ. It's
Yes,
not just like
agreed.
yelling. It's like you can still like, yeah, she doesn't just straight go from 1 to 10. She kind of has like
Exactly.
levels, multitudes.
Exactly.
It makes a good reality star.
Exactly.
I was gonna ask, oh wait, what I wanted, I was gonna go into BravoCon, but I wanted to kind of go to the bonus episode so we could talk a bit about that, because I know that you had some, I wanted to ask you about some stuff from backstage, but let's talk a little bit about it. So we said that the experience was great overall, right?
Yeah.
Are you watching all the Housewives shows?
I watch most of them. I don't know if I've all I'm not caught up in all of them, but I'm caught up in most of them.
What's your favorite right now?
Ooh. Overall, because Potomac just started, so I don't know if I can. Let me see. What will be my
I don't
favorite?
know if they have the juice, but we can talk about that on the bonus.
Yeah, I mean the first yeah, we can talk about that. I would say my favorite right now is probably Salt Lake City,
Okay.
which
Yeah.
I did not expect to say, honestly. I didn't expect to say Salt Lake City. I think Salt Lake City has actually surprised me with how good it is. And like they have clocked in. And I have so many thoughts around like Monica because I
Oh
really
yeah.
rock with Monica heavy. And so like
Perfect. So
she,
I
yeah.
rock with a really like, I mean, I've been online. Okay, so this is, I tweeted. You probably saw this. I feel like we talked about this, but I wrote Monica. I think she's a great housewife. And also, I think sometimes the brokest housewives are the best ones. Sheree was broke her first season. I'm trying to think who else. Karen was broke. I mean, not necessarily, she wasn't broke, but she had one of those. Karen Huger, when the first season, I remember the first episode in her living room, she had one of those. You have to push the glass to open it, stereo system things.
Oh
You know that,
yeah.
like, you know, you're like uncle and aunt had it, and they were like less
Oh no.
financially stable in the 90s. And you
Yep.
push it. She had that. She had white linoleum countertops and stuff like that. Like sometimes broke housewives are like make it interesting because they kind of add a conversation on the show. Because right now she's activating Lisa in a way that Lisa's never been activated by the other quote unquote
Ever.
rich girls, because she kind of like brings her back down to earth. She's like, you're out of touch. And I think it really bothers Lisa because she doesn't know how to fight this kind of battle. You know
Yeah,
what I mean? I think it
exactly.
adds a really kind of nice like layer to the show. But at BravoCon, I guess Jeff Lewis said that he didn't understand why Monica was on the show. He said these shows are about rich people porn. And I just say he's missed the, you know, listen, people watch these shows for different reasons. But I think
Yeah.
he's just wrong.
Yeah,
I think you need to
I
have.
also, yeah, I mean, but I, you know what? It's also interesting, right? Because I also think, like, when someone is talking about being rich, I also think it's relative, right? Like, we know what
Yeah.
rich is, right? If we're
Yeah.
being honest with real, but it's like there are some versions of what people think is rich. Like, what exactly is rich in Salt Lake City,
Well,
right? What
Beverly
exactly?
Hills rich is different
Yeah,
than Salt Lake City rich is very different than
exactly,
Atlanta rich,
right?
you know?
Exactly. Like, I'm not expecting those two places that have the same income, right? Or the same investments, et cetera.
Yeah.
So,
Giselle's driving around Potomac in a Gucci monogrammed Mini Cooper
right.
wearing bedazzled tiara trucker hats. And you know what I mean? It's just like it's a
Right.
different,
It's just different. And
it's
so,
just
yeah, no,
different.
I agree. I think what actually would make most housewives a success is if you don't have that same type of person, right? Like,
Yeah.
it's just like, yeah, you have different personalities, even with wealth or, excuse me, relative wealth. But I think that is what makes Monica great, is that she is so different. And baby, she can read with the best of them.
Yeah,
So
don't sleep on
like,
Monica.
yeah, so
She's
like
got a fire inside of her.
I really appreciate her right now,
She's the
especially.
closest that we have to like the original Bethany. Like she's a
Yeah.
window into kind of like a window for the viewer to look inside this world, but also feel kind of relatable. And you feel
Exactly.
for her. She's not perfect by any means, but that's what makes her a good housewife.
Exactly. Agreed. So I really like, I, yeah, so I do like Salt Lake City a lot, and I just wasn't expecting. I will say, obviously, like last season of Miami was, I think, oh,
Oh,
chef's kiss.
yes. Yeah.
Like, so yeah, there are a few that I'm still like keeping up on and watching consistently.
One more thing, and then we'll go over to the bonus episode because I want to talk to you about who was the nicest person that you met at Bravo, who BravoCon, who was maybe not the nicest, all of those questions. I want to know everything. But before we go over there, I wanted to just say, on the Salt Lake City note, Angie K, I have been fighting behind this girl for months. Mm-hmm. I love Angie K. Shout out Angie K. She's been on the podcast before. If you guys haven't heard it, go listen to that episode. Angie K is one of the nicest housewives I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And she's so sweet. And I was just waiting for the audience to kind of get to see this side of her that they got to see last night, where she had to sit down with Monica. Are there any housewives that you feel like you will die behind? Like you, like they can't, like you will defend them till.
Yeah. And is this pre me meeting and knowing some of them?
Yeah, maybe pre, I guess.
Let me tell you. So one housewife who I have always defended, mm-hmm. like tooth and nail, has been Wendy from Potomac.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting one. Okay.
Yeah.
But I could see there's some overlap because DC and
just her work. I think, but I also think Wendy was always misunderstood. The reality is this, right? I mean, I remember this one episode in particular. Karen did check Wendy.
And I remember
she checked her. But I understood why Wendy was also bringing up like degrees, because like the truth of the matter is like it's other than certain shows, right? Like a Married to Medicine, it is not a common thing.
Yeah.
And I think I hate that people use it against her in that way, or used it, especially because now she's capitalizing it off of it. Now people call her Dr. Wendy. You know, but I think like, you know, so many times people use it against her, and I'm just like, but y'all, we are pretending as though like it's a common thing on the network, and it's just not. It's just not. And I always appreciated her being able to talk about it in that way, especially when you look at stats about Black women with doctorates.
Yeah.
So that was just one thing. Like that's one reason why I found myself defending her a lot. Karen is someone who I've defended down consistently.
Yes. No. That's my mother. So
don't you talk about my mama.
Yeah. I'm a hooger booger. I'm a hooger booger. So her and Ray, they raised me. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Immediately. Like leave her alone. It's funny. So like even Atlanta, I have some like, you know, mixed feelings. I will say, I always found myself in many ways defending, I'll still throw Portia in the hat in the mix. Mm-hmm. You know, I found myself defending her quite a bit. Always saw myself, frankly, defending Kenya in many ways.
You're in the trenches.
Well, you know what? Listen, I said this on my first Watch What Happens Live interview. One of the top three things they asked me was like, what are your unpopular opinions? Like, my top three were, it's gonna be spicy again. My top three was, I actually, number three, did not think Kim Fields was a bad housewife. I genuinely did not. Like,
are spicy.
I think she's different for housewives. I think she wasn't as messy, but I'm just like, she would have, everybody can't be messy. Like, that's
she would have lived perfectly in Potomac in a certain place and time, and like a season one Potomac or season two, maybe more like she would have kind of been a Charisse kind of. You know,
agree. I think at that time with Atlanta, when Atlanta was at its core. So
it didn't make sense because they were trying to put her in with a group of women who were all of a sudden single. Like, I think that was just Phaedra had just broken up.
Yep.
And she was on her single shit. She was wearing fishnet maxi dresses and they were going to Miami and Portia's single. You know what I mean? So
it was I was always like, y'all not about to talk about someone like Kim Fields whose resume is bigger than everybody's on the show. Like, dude. I'm sorry. Like, about to allow it. But my my number two answer was that I think Kenya Moore is misunderstood and she's not a villain. And I admit, I had my moments where I was like, what is happening with her on this show? It was just so frustrating. But the more I started to really like listen to her and watch, I started to feel like for her. I can't lie. I don't know when it happened, why it happened, but it really started to happen.
I don't know what it is though. I will just like, I don't think that she's a villain, but I don't think she's terribly charismatic or likable. That's just me.
Yeah. No, you know,
it's hard for me to like relate to her. So.
Yeah. And I hear that. I hear that on the show. I think it is very interesting.
Doesn't mean I don't like her.
No. I agree. I think on the show, she definitely can be not unrelatable.
Yeah.
You know, there are some moments where you're like, wow, you're delusional. And I don't know how you got to that.
Well, we're going to go over to the bonus episode real quick so we can talk all about BravoCon. And you know what? That made me think of something. And we're going to answer it over there on the bonus I want to ask you who the most unlikable person from your cast is. Get ready for that. Preston, tell the people where to follow you on social media, and do you have any projects coming up or anything that people should be aware of? By the way, do you know when the show premieres? Because we didn't get a date, did we?
Yeah, we didn't get one either. I wish we did.
Probably the top of the year. I bet it's top of the year.
I hope so, because these moments you're like, oh my god, just come out now.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna need it. Then during the dead of winter, I'm gonna need you guys. So
listen, to prepare for the summer.
Yeah.
Folks can follow me on Instagram at Preston, at Preston.Mitchum. They can follow me on Twitter, or X, as some call it, at Preston Mitchum, or www.PrestonMitchum.com.
X while it lasts.
Yes, exactly. I'm excited. So people may not know, but I, a couple of weeks ago, launched my merchandise collection.
Yeah, I saw that in your email.
Yeah, so it's called the Preston Mitchum Collection. It was in partnership and collaboration with Diversity Merch, which it's a merchandiser for many minority-owned businesses and companies, especially ones that are starting out. So a lot of it is really focused on my consulting company and quotes that people have told me that they've loved first season of Summer House Martha's Vineyard. And it's been going really well. I am grateful to say that the shipping process has been seamless. That was the one thing that I talked about. I was like, please don't let people write embarrassing blogs.
Yeah.
So things have been going really well.
I love that. Okay. You guys got all that. You guys know where to follow me on social, because that's otherwise you wouldn't be here. Go to patreon.com/theBList to subscribe to the bonus episodes, guys. There's this and many others. And we're gonna go over there and talk about all this stuff. So meet us over there. Thank you, Preston.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.